Hope you are all well. Today I'm going to read Psalm 1, and I'm going to read it in Persian.
خوشا به حال کسانی که با بدکاران مشورت نمی‌کنند و راه گناهکاران را در پیش نمی‌گیرند و با کسانی که خدا را مسخره می‌کنند همچنین نمی‌شینند، بلکه مشتاقانه از دستورات خداوند پیروی می‌کنند و شب و روز در آنها تفکر می‌نمایند. او همچون درختی است که در کنار نهرهای آب کاشته شده و موقع میوه می‌دهد و برگ‌هایش هرگز پژمرده نمی‌شود. کارهای او همیشه ثمر بخش است. اما بدکاران چنین نیستند. آنها مانند کاهی هستند که در برابر باد پراکنده می‌شوند. آنها در برابر مسند داوری خدا محکوم خواهند شد و به جماعت خداشان را نخواهند دید. درستکاران توسط خداوند محافظت و حمایت می شوند، اما بدکاران به سوی نابودی پیش می روند. آمین.
Good morning, everyone. Hi. Can you hear me all right? Yes? Okay. Why don't we pray before I start? Dear Lord, we thank you for this service today. We thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you for each other that we can come together and pray. And Lord, we just open our hearts now. We ask for you to pour your spirit into us. Open up our inner ears that we may listen to what you have to say. Help us to see you and know you more deeply through prayer and just by listening to what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as Chris said, we've started a new series about our life together, because when God made us in his image, he said, let us make humankind in our image. And who was he talking about? He didn't say, let me make humankind in my image. Because God is three in one. We have the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. And being made in the image of God, who is three in one, means we were made for relationship with one another. So we are happiest, we are most satisfied when we can live as individuals in perfect unity together. Here we go. So today I get to speak about prayer and what it is, really. Well, basically, anyone can pray. You know, there's a broad sense of in the broad sense, it's sort of like a personal response to a general sense of God. So you notice that even people who don't believe in God, when something bad happens in crisis, they automatically just reach out to God in prayer, or they ask for prayer. But for us, it's something very personal. Once we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit fills us. And in Jesus, we can have this personal experience with God. And so this prayer becomes a dialogue. It's not, it's like a conversation that we have with God. And you know, conversation is two-way, right? One person listens, one person speaks. When you're on your mobile, and often the connection is really bad, and sometimes you can hear the person, but the person can't hear you, right? So they're talking and talking and talking, and then you say something back, but they keep talking over you, and you go, hello, hello, can you hear me? And they keep talking and talking. So what do? You hang up, right? Well, often our prayer lives are like that. You know, we just talk and talk to God. God, I need this. God, I need that. But we don't actually come to him and listen to what he has to say. We don't come to him for who he is and just sit with him. So prayer teaches us, when we do this, it teaches us about ourselves, when we listen to God, about each other, about God. And it helps us to stay strong when times are really hard, when we're having problems one after another. The deeper we go into God, the stronger we stay. So basically, there are two ways that we can pray. Chris already touched on this. There's prayer together, which is corporate prayer. And when Jesus taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer, he said, "This then is how you should pray, our Father in heaven." He didn't say my Father or your Father, but our Father. So we're meant to pray together. And Jesus also said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." But then Jesus also retreated a lot. He withdrew a lot. So he would go to quiet places, and even after healing many, many people and exorcising demons, very early in the morning he gets up while it's still dark, it tells us in Mark 1, and he leaves the house and he goes to a quiet place and he prays. You know, after feeding the 5,000 people, Jesus retreated to the mountainside to pray. So God hears us when we pray as God's people together in one voice. It can be a very, very powerful thing. You know, in Acts 12, when Peter is in prison, the whole church prays for him that night before his trial. And what happens? The angel appears in prison, the chains fall off his wrist, and he's free. He walks out. So it can be so powerful when we pray with one voice. But we also have to concentrate everything on God in our one-on-one time with him. And that's how we get to have a dialogue with him. So why Psalm 1? Because that doesn't seem to be at all about prayer. It seems to be about meditation. Well, because between reading our Bibles and between praying, we need meditation. Because what meditation does, meditation on God's word, is it helps us to listen to what he has to say. Because how can we have a conversation with God if we don't know what he's saying? So we listen and then we respond, and that's prayer. And Psalm 1, well, basically there are two main examples in the Bible of prayer. There's the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us. And then in the Old Testament, there is the Book of Psalms, which is the prayer book of the Bible. And Psalm 1, oddly enough, which is the entry to this prayer book, is not a prayer. It's a meditation. It's a meditation on meditation. So it's sort of like preparing our souls to be with God, whether alone or together. You know, like when you're painting the outside of a house or wood, you need a layer of primer before you lay on the first coat of paint so that the paint can absorb into the wood longer and deeper. Same with meditation. Our souls need meditation on God's word so that God's truth can absorb deeper into our hearts through prayer. So basically, Psalm 1 tells us that meditating on the God of the Bible is delight in the law of the Lord. Yeah, it's deliberate meditation day and night. So what is this delight in the law of the Lord? That sounds really hard, doesn't it? Law, it sounds like maybe Ten Commandments, the book of Leviticus, that horrible book we don't like. But actually, the law of the Lord is referring to the whole of Scripture. So the person who delights in the law of the Lord is the person who lets the whole Bible influence every part of their life. Because really, we all meditate on something. Yeah, in our quiet times when there's nothing else to think about, our thoughts will automatically drift somewhere, right? It might drift to our work or our families or our money troubles or our jobs. But the psalmist is saying that when our thoughts drift over to God's word, then that's the sign of us delighting in the Lord. And that's a sign of meditation. So meditating on God's word is to just really think deeply and to question and ask God, what are you saying here? Why are you showing this to me now? Whereas, you know, Eastern meditation, because a lot of people are meditating these days, and you can meditate on a chair or on the air, and basically Eastern meditation is like nothingness. You're trying to leave your consciousness. But Christian meditation is about consciously questioning, what is the Bible saying? How does it apply to me? What is God trying to say to me? And meditation, once we learn this, and we'll get to that soon, it holds many wonderful promises. The first is, blessed is the one who meditates on the law of the Lord. What is this blessedness? It's the absolute shalom, peace of God in your heart. It's being able to see the face of God and experience divine revelation, revelation from above. It's freedom. See, verse 1, it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. What does this mean? Walk and stand and sit. These are all life patterns of the world. And basically, it's saying that those who meditate on God's word are free from the life patterns of this world. They're free from money controlling everything they do. So if they lose everything they own in the bank, it's not going to destroy them. It's important, but it's not going to destroy them. The third thing it shows us by meditating on God's word is we have stability. See, in verse 3, we have that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. In Palestine, the climate was very dry, just like Australian weather, very, very dry. And the trees that weren't planted by streams of water, their roots couldn't get any water, so they would die during the dry season. But the trees planted by streams, they're still subject to bad weather. They still have to go through the drought, but they don't die. And in fact, it says that not only do they survive, everything they do, whatever they do, prospers. So they actually go on to bear fruit. And what this means is if we really take time to ponder, to reflect, to think deeply on God's word, what happens is during the bad times, our roots go deeper into God and we stay stable. We don't die when there's problems. We don't get destroyed or overwhelmed when there's problems one after the other, or when we're getting sick or other people are getting sick. And these problems will actually help us to go deeper and deeper till we become wiser from it. We learn more about ourselves, about God, about each other. And so we prosper, we're fruitful. But who among us can say that we perfectly obey, we have perfectly obeyed everything the Bible has told us to say and be and do? Is there anyone here who is perfect? Anyone? No. No, not me. Definitely not me. You see, we should fall under the category of the wicked. Yeah? So, the wicked are people who are not perfect, who make mistakes, who listen to themselves instead of God. That's us. That's me. Yay. And what's supposed to happen to the wicked? We're like chaff blown away, that the wind blows away. What's this chaff? You know, grain, wheat, and the covering of it is very light. And what they did those days with the wheat in the basket, to get rid of the chaff, the covering, they toss it in the air, and it's so light that the wind just blows it away. By the time the grain comes down, there's no chaff, there's no covering. So when we listen to everyone else, to ourselves instead of God, we are like chaff. We were easily destroyed by anything that doesn't go our way. That's what it's saying, basically. And the thing is that all of us deserve to be like chaff. But there's one person who perfectly fulfilled God's law, who perfectly obeyed everything, and that's Jesus. But Jesus didn't do it just to set an example. He did it to save us. See, without Jesus, the law is a curse. The whole Bible is a curse for us because we cannot possibly live up to it. But we can delight in the law of the Lord. We can delight in God's word because the word has become flesh. And the word died for us, getting forgiveness for us. Jesus is the one we meditate on because he is the meditation of God. Jesus is God meditating on how badly we fail him and yet how much he loves us. So, how does this happen? Well, when Jesus died on the cross in our place, we who believe in him are born again in his righteousness. So it's in his righteousness that we are able to stand in the judgment, it says in verse 5. Therefore, we can stand in the judgment. And, you know, on the cross, Jesus said, I am thirsty. What was happening to him? He was dry. His mouth was dry. He became like chaff. You see? He became like chaff, and he was blown away on the cross. So that in his righteousness, we can experience the absolute peace, the stability, the freedom, the fruitfulness that Jesus deserved. So Jesus is God's word, come to us in the flesh so that we can experience God in the most personal way by meditating on God's word and by meditating on Jesus, with Jesus. So how do we do this? Are you dying to know or falling asleep? Which one? Oh, yay. Thank you, Morel. Thank goodness you're back. So we're going to now, I'm going to give you a crash course because I have Chris 20-minute McGowan sitting there. 20 minutes, sorry. On how you would meditate. And I want to say that I've been doing this for 20 years. 20 years. Did I say 20 years? No, 4 years. I don't know why I said 20. I wish I'd been doing it for 20 years. But since when I couldn't walk, I would lie in bed for hours and hours in pain, and this is when I would think on God's word. And it really, Jesus would appear to me in the most personal way. Sometimes I would hear the voice of God, and I really want this for all of us and for you individually, those of you seeking God. So there's 5 questions when we meditate. And we're going to do just the first 2 words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. All right? So the first thing we ask is, what does this tell us about God that we can praise God for? So it's a praise point. So anyone, Our Father, what can we praise God for? For being our Father. Thank you. Yes. Anything else?
He belongs to all of us.
He Who said that? Oh, thank you, David. Yes, he's a perfect father, yes. The thing is, you know, now you're giving answers, and the longer you meditate, the deeper you will go. But these are all good answers. Yes, he's our father, and we get to have a family relationship with him. It also, our father means that we have been adopted into the family of God, because he wasn't naturally our father. Yeah, in Galatians 4, Paul talks about how Jesus came as a person to redeem us so that we can have adoption to sonship. And in those days, if I'm thinking about it in my bed, what our father means, I'm thinking, well, in those days, only the sons got the inheritance, right? So if you didn't have a son, you would adopt a son. And us being adopted into God's family, where we can call him our father, means we can have access to him. Yeah, anytime in prayer, that's why it's a privilege. We are co-heirs in the kingdom of God. We have an inheritance with Jesus. That's amazing. And we have a new identity. So all these things. And you know, if you really, really think deeply on it, without our Father, there is no holy be your name. There is no thy kingdom come. There is no give us today our daily bread. There's none of that. So our Father, can you see how already the first point, we are going to have a deeper prayer life? And we haven't even gotten to the Lord's Prayer. We're just our Father. So the second point is, once we know what to praise God for, we say, what harmful attitudes or behavior or emotions come up in us whenever we forget this truth? So what happens when we forget that he is our Father? Anybody?
Trust in ourselves.
Yeah, we trust in ourselves. Anything else?
God didn't move, we move.
Sorry?
God didn't move, we
move. Yes, we moved. God didn't move. Yeah, so we don't have a personal relationship with God. Our prayer life is really shallow and mechanical. We do it just because we have to, or we go to God just to ask for things, not for who he is, our Father. And you know, when we forget that he's our Father, we forget that each of us here who believe in Jesus are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we're kind of hard to judge each other, aren't we? And it's hard to forgive each other when we forget that we're all sinners adopted into the one family. That's something else to think about. And also, thinking that God is our Father, it gives us humility, doesn't it? To think, wow, we're sinful and yet we're God's children. But also it gives us confidence when times are hard, right? So once you think, okay, how I fail God, what do we need to do or be because of this? What do you need to do when you forget?
Say you're sorry.
Say you're sorry, repent. Have a deeper prayer life, individually and together. Turn up to prayer gatherings. Yeah? Have a family relationship with God, conscious one, instead of a business relationship. So business is like, what can you do for me? Yeah, what you can do for me. Whereas family is what I am to you. What can you be to me? What can I be to you? What else? We need the Holy Spirit, don't we? To make this adoption of sonship real to us, so we realize we have access to God. We can go to him anytime. And we're confident because we're co-heirs in God's kingdom, but we're also humble. And we can keep going. But then we get to my favorite bit, which is, how does Jesus help us overcome the sins we've confessed or answer the needs we have? Can you think? See, Jesus on the cross, Jesus lost his prayer, you know? You notice that in all the Gospels, Jesus always refers to God as my Father or Abba. He says, "My Father, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. My Father." One place he doesn't call God his Father. Where's that? On the cross. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, he still loves God. He obeys God. But he doesn't call God Father. Because the Father is no longer loving him as a son. He's no longer loving him unconditionally, protecting him. God is doing to his only son what true fathers never do. He's abandoning his son. See, Jesus lost the status of sonship so we can get the status of sonship that he deserved. And the moment we believe in Jesus, we cross over from being not children of God to children of God. So you see how this is already like making you, hopefully, very excited, warming your heart up for God, and you haven't even started praying yet. And the last question is, how would this change your lives, our lives, if this truth were to come alive in our inmost being? So what would happen if the truth of Jesus came alive in our hearts? Well, we would experience God more deeply in prayer, wouldn't we? Alone and together, we would really want to go to prayer meetings because that would be such a joy. It wouldn't be a chore. We would go to God for who he is, yeah, not for what he can give us. And when we say our Father in all our prayers, like today in our group prayers, when we say our Father or Heavenly Father or Lord, we will say it with such joy, such gratitude. Because nothing can change our status as God's children. So if we want to please him because we were made in his image. Jesus is God's word. Come to us in the flesh so that we may, in the most personal way, experience God through prayer and meditation. So let's meditate on him and with him today. Let's pray. Dear loving Father, we thank you for this crash course on meditation and on prayer. Lord, we long to speak to you, and sometimes we are so overwhelmed by what's going on in the world. We are so self-involved that we cannot hear you. And so we ask, Lord, that you show us how to think deeply, meditate on your word, that our prayer lives would become deeper so we can get to know you better, we can get to know ourselves better and each other, and that we can live together as God's children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.